is a Bramble Jam podcast. Hi, I'm Bran, and I love making Alonzo watch questionable Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I trust the process. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Yeah.
Woo.
Feeling good. Week 20.
How can be?
It can't, but it is. Let's just take a moment and think about all the fun we've had and the movies
friends we've made along the way.
We've made you watch and all the black and white. All the black and white. Just miles and miles of black and white.
You've been a real trooper. You've watched black and white movies. You watched the documentary.
Well, I feel bad because you've made me watch things that I end up liking, and I have I don't feel like I've been as successful.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the point of the show. So, you know, mission accomplished. I mean, look, if the week comes that you delight me with a surprise, like, you know, we can all go home and buy lottery tickets. But, you know,
this week might be it. It might be it.
I always live in hope. I like to think that possibility is out there somewhere.
Which of the movies that I've brought has been the best for you?
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
God, I need to look at a list.
Yeah. And why is it Jingle All the Way?
Oh, God. I mean, weirdly.
Here it comes.
The one I had not seen before, so at least it did give me an opportunity, an excuse to do that, was I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bad, as we know. I think the other ones have all been revisits, but again, I need to look at a list. But yeah, nothing leaps to mind.
Well,
they've all been painful in one way or another.
Well, okay then. I'm excited today. I want to take you on a journey,
okay,
Alonzo, if you will. You know,
sure,
that I love Hallmark movies. It's not a secret. I've made a career of it.
Sure.
And but there was a birthing place for that to be so. That was a weird way to say that. And that place was a Disney Channel growing up.
Oh, okay.
Disney Channel creates their own movies. They're called Disney,
yes,
Channel Original Movies. DCOMs, as the cool kids call it. And there was a period of time in my life where I wouldn't miss a DCOM. There's some great ones out there. Luck of the Irish. My Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire. To name a few, Motocrossed, Smart House, as I've said before.
Oh, yes, the Deathless Smart House.
Which I know you ran to your Disney Plus.
Ran now. Right out to, yeah, see. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There is a Christmas DCOM that, okay, I think it's possible that it is the reason why I have fallen in love with Hallmark. All the years of DCOMs have made it to where I kind of love, you know, these made-for-TV movies.
So there's your gateway drug.
There's a Christmas one that, okay, and I want to preface this, Alonzo. I haven't watched this in 20 years. It's been a while.
Revisiting your past is always going to be a little dicey, but you know, I admire you taking this on.
But I think that this is going to be a good one because there's a chance that it's, you know, it's kind of like Hallmark. So maybe you'll like it. Okay. That's the risk I'm taking here. That's the dice I'm rolling. So we're going to watch the 2000 Disney Channel original movie, The Ultimate Christmas Present.
Okay.
Starring Brenda Song.
Okay.
Who is the mother of Macaulay Culkin's child. So there's more Christmas relation there.
Wow, yes.
Yeah.
She's married into royalty. Okay.
And then, is that it? Spencer Breslin?
Okay.
Yeah.
Disney's The Kid.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
Don't know this one. And I don't know that I think the only DCOM I ever watched, well, I mean, the, you know, High School Musical, I've seen those.
I mean.
Does that count?
Yeah. Those one and two, musical? Yes.
Okay. Yes. I know. Three was theatrical. I had to review it.
Well, what did you think of High School Musical?
Oh, I'm a fan. Yeah, I get the appeal.
So we could do some damage here.
This could, yeah.
This could be it. Know. It came to me in a dream. I was like, you know what? I know this is technically like made for TV, so I don't know if it is playing by the rules, but okay. I'm going to make it play by the rules.
I've never had the chance to sing Fabulous at karaoke, but I would.
As you should, my friend. I'm sure it would be fabulous.
I think it would be. All right. Well, I'm genuinely excited to see how this goes. I'm not walking into it with my arms are not crossed. There are no chips on my shoulder. I've never seen this movie. I've never heard of this movie. I'm going to take your word for it and we'll see how it goes.
Well, again, I don't remember. I don't know if it's good or not. It's been a long time, but I remember loving it. Okay. But I don't know if that was because I loved every DCOM. Like they were just, they were special films.
It's a formative movie for Baby Bran. So I'm very curious to see how that goes.
John B. Lowe? No. Haley Todd? No. Okay. Well, these are people. These are people and they're in the movie.
They are.
These are people and they're in the movie.
Good on
Disney Plus, go watch it. And we'll come back after this break and we'll talk about it, Alonzo.
Excellent. Can't wait.
Until then, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Wow, what a good break that was, if I do say so. The sweet, sweet smell of whatever that ad was you just heard. Hope it was a good one, you know? We're talking The Ultimate Christmas Present, Disney Channel original movie, a DCOM, as the kids and Alonzo call them.
Oh, always, yes.
Always. I'll do a quick synopsis, and then we'll dive into it. Originally aired on the Disney Channel, if you can believe it, on December 1st in the year 2000, and it went a little something like this. The movie centers around just a couple of teenage gals, Sam and Allie. Oh, they're fun. They're, you know, just always up to stuff. They love their each other. They love this boy who's having a Christmas party on Christmas Day, as you do. And all very excited about this. And one day they're out in the woods and they stumble upon this cabin they've never seen before. They hear this man being very disgruntled and he throws something out the window or throws something into the trash. They go naturally to see what it is. And it is some sort of futuristic device, it looks like, some sort of robot. So they naturally steal it. They take it back to their home. They start to mess around with it and they realize that this device can control the weather around them. So like they get a little mini earthquake, you get some rain, and then they figure out snow. And Sam has the idea, or Allie has the idea, sorry, Allie. To what if we just turned up the snow, had a snow day, we could get what I believe is Christmas Eve off of school. I don't know. And we will be done with school. We don't have to do any of these tests or papers or whatever she was working on about. She was writing something or whatever. She doesn't have to do that anymore because it is winter break, finally. So she turns up the snow, and sure as the day is long, it starts to snow. Real good ones. They wake up to basically a full-blown blizzard. There's a weather guy.
Did you mention that it's Los Angeles? Like that's.
I'm sorry. It is Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles, and there's a guy named Edwin, who is the joke is he's the most boring weather guy in the world. He's all about like just the facts and the science and stuff like that. But you know he is very bothered by this because he didn't forecast it. There should be an explanation for this, so he's going to try to figure out what that is. Santa also, as you know him. He's also, once he realizes what's going on, he's like, oh no, but it's been stolen. And these two elves, Crumpet and Sparky, they come down to help him figure it out. And just, you know, just to do, be a couple of goofs, you know what I mean? You need a couple of goofs. Am I right?
They're wacky.
So the snowstorm starts to spread
which, you know, this is new tech. We don't know what it's capable of, but apparently it is able to spread. And the reason we know that is because Allie's dad is in San Francisco for business, and he's not able to get home. All the flights are grounded, even in San Francisco, because the snowstorm is moving in. So they start to realize that with great power comes great responsibility. If you can make it snow, you're playing God. Is that good? Are there ramifications? You betcha there is. And so they say, you know what? Enough is enough with this snow. We'll turn it off, and then everything will go back to normal. But in the middle of the night, it turns right back on, and it's worse than ever. They wake up, and things are just going crazy. Our guy Edwin, from what I gather, has written some sort of software or is able to pinpoint the exact location that snow originated in. Again, I don't know if it's possible. I don't know how weather works, really.
If it were a tornado, you could find the epicenter. So I will say sure.
Why not? Yes. And he figures out exactly where the snow's coming from. So he is trying to make his way through Los Angeles. The roads are crazy, crazier than normal, if I read a lot. And so he's trying to figure that out. Santa also has now narrowed it down finally. Who has it? Now, you could ask yourself this question, which is, he's Santa. Should he not be able to know? Neither here nor there. He goes to the naughty list in the Los Angeles area and figures out of all the girls that wear the shoe that was in the mud. It's very technical. But finally, he narrows it down to Allie, and they basically show up, and they're like, let's take this thing back. But who also shows up? It's Edwin. Edwin wants this device because he can be the best weatherman in the world, because he can make it do whatever he wants to do. And so he's able to find a device. He takes it. Santa, the elves, and the girls, they chase him through this thing. He gets some chocolate. It's a whole ordeal. And so finally, they get the device back. Edwin decides that, you know what, I've learned my lesson here. I want to teach people the weather. That's exactly right. So he opens his own school, they're able to turn up the heat a little bit, which was probably the better course of action to begin with, Allie. You should have thought that one through, because it's really cold. But nevertheless, it's, you know, we're able to warm things up a little bit, melt a little bit. It's Christmas morning. Dad's still not home, but guess who brings him home? The elves. They bring him home, and they're all happy on Christmas. And that, my friends, was the ultimate Christmas present. That's exactly right. So excited to break this movie down. If you remember, Alon, I'll go first. If you remember, I haven't seen this, I think, since the year 2000. So, you know, a mere 22 years ago. And I wasn't, I remembered kind of the gist of the movie, but I remember really liking it at the time. Or was it just because I was...
Was it great, or were you 8?
I was 8. Okay. I don't know. I loved this. I had a blast with this movie. I thought this was a bundle of fun. I might be in the minority here. I don't know. But I thought it was a bundle of fun. Yeah, I love DCOMs. And I've talked about how they're my gateway drug to Hallmark many a times. But there's just something about this that I just absolutely adored. I thought the storyline was actually, like, it is wacky new. I wish we had a wait what segment on this particular program, because we would have been able to go for days. But it's a pretty, like, fun story about snow and Los Angeles and figuring all that out, and good Santa, and, you know, you got a villain of sorts. And so it all worked for me. I had an absolute blast. It holds up, and it gets the brand stamp of approval. If you're going to watch a Christmas DCOM on Disney Plus, there you go. Look no further. I think there is another one with Bryan Cranston, which I was not aware of. I haven't seen that one. Maybe on a different show, you know, later we can do that. But what do you think, Alonso? This is your only DCOM aside from High School Musical. Is that correct?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, like, I watched my friend Kevin Chamberlain, who I mentioned on the Christmas with the Cranks episode, is also in, like, one of the teen beach something movies as like a mad scientist or whatever.
Okay.
But I pretty much just fast forwarded and watched his scenes, so I couldn't really speak to the film as
a whole.
Did
you watch Camp Rock for the Jonas Brothers or no?
No. I'll say this. This is the least bad film you have made me watch over the course of this entire program.
And the cheapest to make. And that shows you something.
No doubt. Yes, exactly. Now, I get the appeal. And I also think it is interesting. Like, we could sort of lay out a thing of like the beats that you expect a Hallmark Christmas movie to hit and the beats that these movies, I'm just guessing from this one, like, I'm sure the bad guy has to not only wind up defeated, but also like covered in, you know, slime or goop or chocolate or sure. cotton candy or whatever. Like, I bet you that's a trope. Yeah, it's fun. It's cute. You know, it's silly and innocuous. But I thought like it made occasional stabs at being a real movie, like where Sam talks about her dad being dead.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And like how that kind of impacts the holidays. You know, I love kids talking about death.
Who does it?
When done right.
It wasn't heavy handed at all the way they got there either. There's no way you could ever understand what it's like to maybe not have your dad home for Christmas. I couldn't.
You know, I was kind of surprised this movie actually has some genuine bona fides. It was written by Michael Hitchcock. And you may not know that name, but trust me, if you saw his face, you'd be like, oh, that guy. He is like a very busy comic character actor. He's in like all the Christopher Guest movies. I believe he's married to Parker Posey in Best in Show. He's that guy.
Okay.
So anyway, I think he's from the Groundlings. Like, he's a genuine like comedy gem, and he is the screenwriter for this thing. And I think he and the woman who plays Allie's mom like have story credit on it.
Okay.
So, you know, there's some fun people who pop up in this, like Susan Rutan, who plays Mrs. Claus. You know, she was on L.A. Law. The guy playing Santa was in 3 Hallmark Christmas movies last year alone.
That's not surprising. An excellent Santa.
He's a real good Santa, a busy fella. He doesn't even always play Santa. Like, he's just the guy in movies, and he just sort of suggests Santa, I think, sometimes for Hallmark. You know, it was dopey. Again, like, why is this kid having a party on Christmas Day? Why is her little brother having a basketball tournament on Christmas Day? Like, what? You would think that Los Angeles just, like, ignores it entirely. Like,
the timeline of this movie is insane. The amount of things that are going on leading up to Christmas and on Christmas in general. The amount of people that are having Christmas Eve or Christmas Day parties. It's just unbelievable. And I loved every second of it.
And, you know, I'll look, for as much as we give Hallmark movies guff about getting the fake snow really wrong, pretty impressive here, I have to say.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, like, it's like super, super fluffy, but like at least it's doing something, you know, and they got like a ton of it on the ground. Yeah,
I suspect they probably like shot a few things up in the mountains or something where there really was snow, like for the snowmobile stuff. And, you know, when the girl on the naughty list who likes to bash snowman with a baseball bat, like, whoa. But yeah, I think as a movie for kids, it does what it's supposed to do. And, you know, it's fine. It's fun.
Absolutely, buddy. I mean, go ahead.
I was reminded of like when you see former Disney kids who go on Saturday Night Live and do like their, you know, they'll have the acting school for Disney children, like how to be a, you know, the Disney sitcom kid, you know, like I've definitely was seeing some of that acting in there. The overall brightness of everything was very much, I think, part of the Disney Channel aesthetic of that moment. But yeah, no, I had a good time.
Spencer Breslin, though. tough sledding, pal.
Whew. Thankless like, role, though.
But, like, literally, like, could not be more like, Mom! Like, just unreal, this guy. Yeah. But, you know, I loved it. And, I you know me by now. I love, like, The worst, the actual worst Hallmark movie is not boring, but the worst, the more I probably like it. I love the badness of it. So this worked for me 100%.
Well, you know, certainly give me a bonkers plot twist over, you know, rival house cleaners in love, you know.
But the like, even the plot device, this thing was like really intriguing, like kind of a cool idea. Like,
I guess, but why would you have an earthquake setting?
Yeah, that seems that seems unnecessary.
What's the plan there?
Yeah, see, saying it's not no good, I don't think. But I also love, like, what was he trying? Like, he threw it out. Like, what happened in between throwing it out and bringing it home to make it work?
Yeah, maybe it jostled it just so.
It's a classic jostle. It's a classic jostle situation. Let's get to Christmas feels. What in this movie gave us Christmas feels? What kind of the ranking we would give it? Alonzo.
Tricky one, because, like, you know, you've got Santa throughout, but he's mostly in, you know, like, detective mode. You know, he's not really like being jolly. He's kind of annoyed the entire movie.
Fair, though.
And well, he should be, absolutely.
Listen, when you go to the cabin in the woods a few days before Christmas to work on a weather project with an earthquake setting, you would be annoyed too if someone takes it, Alonzo.
I begrudge him none of that. We're talking about Christmas feels,
yes,
though.
Yes, you're right.
I almost kind of feel like, in a way, this could have just been a winter movie. Like, the Christmas adds the ticking clock of, will Dad get home in time for, you know, from San Francisco? But, like, you know, and it was cool when they decorate the cactus because they can't go shopping for the Christmas tree because of the snowstorm, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't get a ton of Christmas out of this movie, weirdly enough, as much as I got winter. But in the same way that any song about winter becomes a Christmas carol, you know, that does kind of carry along. And obviously, you know, yeah, LA would totally grind to a halt if we had even the tiniest bit of snow. I mean, I grew up in the South. In Atlanta, like, there's ice one day and the city just shuts down, and then, like, it melts and we all go back to our lives. So here, forget about it. We can't even deal with rain here.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I agree. It did, you know, the Christmas isn't a lot, but the winter is. So it kind of confuses you, you know, like you feel disoriented because I'm like, there's so much snow, but there's not a light to be found in this movie. Like, not a Christmas light to be found.
Some of the houses have some decoration on the outside, but yeah, there's not
enough. Like, not this enough.
Yeah, it's not a tree in every corner movie for sure.
There's some, like, fun, like, you know, ska versions of Christmas carols that I didn't know I needed. But thank you for that. Early 2000s, am I right? It's a golden age of music.
It's all the ones they didn't use in I'll Be Home for Christmas.
That's right. That's exactly right. But Dan would have loved it every second.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, I give this probably like a 6-ish, 6.5. Yeah, I think the Santa's good. The winter, they knocked out of the park. You know, I'm always perturbed when people don't get their Christmas tree in movies, you know, at least a month before Christmas. Like, was your dad in San Francisco for a month? Probably not. Probably not. You probably should have already gotten it.
What is this, like, you know, 1910, where, oh, we're decorating the tree on Christmas Eve? Like, come on.
No, not having it. Not having it. Yeah. If I wanted that, I would have, you know, gone back a few weeks and watched a black and white movie where they do that. I don't need that here. I don't need that here in my color films in the year 2000. But yeah, I think a 6-6.5 is probably fair. Oh boy. What movie would you recommend?
I have one.
Okay, great.
All right. So if you want a movie about kids and snow and getting out of school and from people who are responsible for, like, great 90s kids television, the feature film Snow Day, which is currently streaming on Amazon Prime, was written by Will McRobb and Chris Viscardi, who are the creators of The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yeah, classic.
A show I loved. I was far too old to watch it, but I watched it anyway.
I was very shocked when you just said that, but sure, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, like, they had, like, Michael Stipe was on that show from REM, and like, Steve Buscemi was on that show. It was a very cool show. Like, very cool if show. You could be in your late 20s, be like, oh, we have to watch Pete and Pete, because, right, you know. Pete and Pete. And actually, Will McRobb is now doing the Harriet the Spy show on Apple TV Plus, which I just watched for the first time, and it's actually really good.
Really?
There have been some not great Harriet the Spy adaptations over the years, but this one seems pretty cool. I'm going to watch more of them. But yeah, Snow Day would be my recommendation.
I'm trying to think of like a good Snow Day Hallmark movie, like a movie where the snow really.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, like the airport is closed, you know, I'm stuck in town. Like what's the one with Tom Everett Scott and Brooke, what's her face as a stewardess like I'm stuck because of the snow. Any of the, you know, Winter Storm Megan movies from Lifetime from a couple years ago, obviously fit the bill.
I think this needs to be redone. I love a device that can make it snow. We don't need to know the science of it.
And we're not getting it.
I love that Brenda Song was like, "What if we just the antenna or something?" Yes. It's great. I love that.
And why does it have a face? Why does that machine have a face?
I don't know.
But thank you for making me watch it. It was not one I had encountered and probably would not have gone to on my own, but it was cute.
I don't know. Did you, when you were done, did it pull up that Bryan Cranston?
The Bryan Cranston one. Yeah. I haven't seen that one either. So we can put that on the list.
Was
for later.
The Night, I think it was called
something like that. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe we'll watch that, with Dan or something during.
Oh, there you go.
That'll
make him love that.
Yeah. That's a Disney Channel original movie. Bam. Bam. Bryan Cranston is the golden. That was perfect for him. All right. I'm going to take off my headphones. You're going to tell everybody what we're going to watch next week. And if I am, are we going backwards? Is this what?
I'm
going
to jump back a little bit, but not too. It's in color. I'm going to tell you right now, it's in color. Fair. So calm yourself,
all right.
Sir.
All right. I'm taking it off.
Okay. All right, I'm jumping backwards because one of the movies from the 40s that I wanted to show is not streaming anywhere still, and I was kind of holding out that it would show up, but still we cannot stream I'll Be Seeing You, so too bad. What I'm going to throw in, and I think Bran is going to love it, because it's one of my favorites, it's another Christmas Carol adaptation. It is the 1970 musical Scrooge, starring Albert Finney and Alec Guinness. And with the screenplay and songs by Leslie Bricus, who co-did all the Willy Wonka songs. I love this movie, and I he's got to enjoy it, right? We'll see.
Wowie. Can't wait. I can't wait for whatever you just said. I can't wait for it. Let everyone know.
We are running out of our lists. It's crazy.
I know.
Getting to the end of this thing.
Next week's going to be week 20, I think. Just don't even know what to do anymore. But let's just stop talking because I'm gonna get emotional, and we'll be back next week, and you'll let me know what we're gonna watch. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.